Brilliant. Shall we pray together? Gracious Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have the chance to gather around it this morning. And I pray that as we look at these passages together now, that you would speak to us and encourage us. Amen. Well, like I just confessed to the children, I am awful at silence. I don't like being on my own. I don't like sitting in silence. And even when I am sitting in silence, my mind is always going over a million and one other things. I'm always making lists about what I should do next. I can't even sit in the house by myself because I decide what I'm going to decorate next or what I'm going to tidy next or what I'm going to do next. So I don't know if anybody else can relate to me and my constant desire to be doing something. So last summer, when a friend of mine from college decided that he was going to take me away on a silent retreat for 3 days with some Franciscan monks who even eat meals in complete silence. The only time you're allowed to pray is if you, the only time you're allowed to speak is if you are praying or singing in the chapel. I didn't think this was going to be the best idea. And so we went off, me kicking and screaming about what was about to happen, and we arrived. And I have to be honest, for the first 24 hours, it was absolutely horrendous. I had an awful time because you sit at a meal in the dining room, and my natural inclination is to try and start to talk to people and try and start making conversation, but it's just not allowed. You get scalded if you even ask for the salt. So I wasn't getting on very well. But I have to admit, by the time I got to day two, I did begin just a little bit to get used to the silence and found that it was actually really helpful to pause and to take that time to reflect. And so this morning, as we think about Remembrance Sunday, and as we've just taken time to reflect and to be still, I want to just draw out for us 3 things about why it's so important to be still and why it's so important to look back based on the passages that we've just had read to us. So the first thing I want to draw out to us very simply is that it's important to be still and it's important to look back because when we look back, we begin to learn. And I know the reading we had from Amos is not the most pleasant reading that's ever been read to us here at St. Mary's. I mean, Lisa texted me last night to check it was actually the right reading that I chosen for today because I know it's quite a miserable passage as the prophet Amos is talking about the day of the Lord that is coming. But I wanted to choose this passage from Amos because Amos was a very poor farmer who lived in the community of Israel. He used to farm sycamore trees, we read earlier in the book of Amos. So he was one of the poorest people that lived in the community of Israel. But actually, God gave him a message, and it was a very important message, to go to the rich people amongst God's people and to tell them that they had forgotten God, to get them to look back and to remember God in their lives. And that's why we have these verses, just like we had read from verse 21, which says, "I hate and I despise your religious festivals." Because God, I think, could see that the Israelites were coming to worship him and they were going through all the motions and it might have looked good on the surface, but underneath, they had forgotten who God really was. They hadn't put God in first place and they put their money and their wealth and lots of other things in the place of God. So Amos is calling his people to look back and to learn from their mistakes, to see what they have done wrong in order that they can learn and eventually move forward. And today, especially as it's Remembrance Sunday, today it seems a very poignant moment for all of us to stop, to look back, and to remember the things that have happened in our world where perhaps it seems that the right thing hasn't always happened. We remember the many conflicts around the world, which still are ongoing today. We remember communities and families which have been ravaged apart by war and awful circumstances. And as we stop and as we gather together in silence, it's my hope that we will look back and we will learn. We will learn from the mistakes that we see, but we will also learn from the amazing example of men and women who went, just ordinary people like you and me, to go and to play their part in these conflicts, but actually came back as heroes because they were the ones that gave up their lives. They were the ones that sacrificed their relationships with their families and their friends to bring us the peace that we have today. So today, like Amos, I want to encourage us to look back and to learn, even if that is a very hard thing to do, both collectively as we stand together with many other congregations around the world and remember what's happened in the past, but also in our own lives. It's good to look back and to learn from what's happened in our own lives. And if you ever come to our house and you see the way that our house is decorated, you'll be able to see which room I painted first and which room was the most recent painting job that I did, because you can look at the quality of the painting. And for example, if you look in the study in our house, you can't really see a difference between the wall color and the ceiling. It's just kind of a weird splodge. I didn't know how to use masking tape at that point. But as time's gone over, I've got a little bit better at using masking tape. So I quite often lie in my bed and admire the lovely, neat, straight lines in our bedroom, because as I've moved my way around the house, I've got better at decorating. I've learned from my mistakes. And that's a really silly example. But actually, in our own lives as well, we can learn from what's gone wrong. We can learn from the mistakes that we've made. We can learn from the other mistakes that we see other people making. And we can move forward. And if you feel this morning that you have too many mistakes and too many problems in your life, then I want to encourage you to bring them to the foot of the cross and bring them to Jesus, because he is able to use our mistakes and our problems in a way that brings him glory and honor in a way that we would never, ever be able to imagine. So this morning, I want to encourage us to look back and to learn, but also to look back and to find a sense of peace. Amos is encouraging the Israelites to look back and to look at their mistakes. And God, he does appear very angry in this passage, doesn't he? He's going to send Israel into exile, and he's going to show them when they're in exile who really is God. And if we read just this passage by itself, it can seem that God is a horrible, nasty God, a God that we would never, ever want to be in relationship with. But if you still got your Bible open, flip over the next page, because the very last verse of Amos in chapter 9, verse 15, has this promise for the people of Israel. God will take them into exile. He will take them away from their land, and he will teach them more about who he is. But he promises that I will plant Israel in their own land again, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them. This is what the Lord says. So although this is perhaps not the most pleasant and exciting reading, there is a deep, deep promise that runs all the way through Amos that God is going to use the future to bring people back to himself. And actually, I think in a sense, even though there might be turmoil and difficulties ahead, there is a deep recognition that there is peace in the future for anybody who is able to trust in that. And I know in our own lives, often it's hard to find peace, isn't it? Often when things are very difficult or we're facing a hard moment, we don't always know where to go and who to trust. And I know in my own life, like I was saying earlier, I quite often have moments of feeling anxious and stressed. And in those times, it's very hard to kind of find a sense of balance and to anchor myself in the sense of peace that God gives us in the book of Amos, especially at the end. But a few years ago, I was talking to a friend who was very helpful, and they explained to me that your emotions, it's like they're all in a box, a little bit like an inside out. All your emotions are here. And when you get anxious or stressed, it's like all these emotions pop out and start jumping around in front of you. And you feel overwhelmed because you don't know what to do with all your emotions that are dancing around in front of you. And you can't find a sense of peace. And so what I did with my friend over a few weeks was we looked at these emotions. And one by one, we took out an emotion from the box. We talked about it. We explored it. And then we put it back in the box. And the idea was that actually, when I feel anxious and feel a little bit stressed now, I don't have to worry about those emotions popping out, because even if they do, I know that I've explored them and I understand them and I know more about myself. And that actually brings me a deep sense of peace. And I'm sure many of us here have got difficulties and problems in our lives. There are things that we perhaps don't feel peaceful about. But I want to encourage us this morning that as we look to God, as we trust that he's in control, we can find peace when we put our lives in his hands. And in a much bigger sense, as today is Remembrance Day, it's my hope as well that as we are still and as we are quiet and as we remember the conflict that goes on still all around the world, we might actually strive to be people of peace as well. We might strive for peace in our world and believe that there can be a day when actually we will see war come to an end. So we look back to learn, we look back to find peace. And finally, very quickly, one of the last reasons that I wanted to share for why we need to look back and why it's so important to be still and to remember is that when we look back, we find that we are able to move forward. And it seems strange, doesn't it, to stop and to look back in order to move forward. But I've learned over time that that's been a very important thing for me, to actually take time to stop, to reflect, and to see what the next step forward in my life might be. And Amos is a very poor farmer in the story that we've got. He has not got much authority at all to go and speak to the rich people in his society, but he's brave enough and daring enough to believe that there can be change in his nation. He believes that Israel can move forward. And so it's my hope this morning that actually when we feel like we're in a moment of despair, or when we feel like we're facing a hard time, we wouldn't look back and just drown in our thoughts and our feelings, but that we would find hope for the future and find a way to move forward. I'm not sure if any of you have seen the Harry Potter films. We love the Harry Potter films in our house, and I really love one of the scenes where Harry Potter is called to go and see Professor Dumbledore, his head teacher. And Professor Dumbledore has, I guess you call it, a pet called Fawkes the Phoenix. And Fawkes is sitting on this very glamorous kind of perch. And as Harry Potter comes into the office of Dumbledore, Dumbledore isn't there. And so he goes up to the bird and starts looking at the bird that belongs to his head teacher. And suddenly the bird just erupts into flames and completely disintegrates into a pile of ashes. And it's one of those awkward moments, I seem to find myself in these all the time, where at that precise moment, Dumbledore walks back into the room and Harry Potter has to say to Dumbledore, "I'm so sorry, I've just managed to kill your bird by talking to it." And it's just a pile of ash that's on the ground around where Fawkes has been sitting. But then Dumbledore explains to Harry Potter, "Don't worry, Fawkes is a phoenix. He's been looking terrible for days. That's what phoenixes do all the time." And then just the last thing, the last little glimpse you see is just the tiny little bird being rehatched out of the ashes. And the idea is that this little bird will grow back into that huge, mighty, glorious phoenix that was there when Harry Potter first walked into his head teacher's office. And I think that is obviously a picture from fiction. It's not a picture from the Bible, but I think it's actually a very helpful picture for us to capture onto today. Because we don't talk about phoenixes in the Bible, but we do talk about a God who takes our ashes and our mourning and turns them into beauty. And so this morning, I want to encourage us that as we look back and we learn, as we look back and we find peace, we can also look back and find hope for the future. Just as we end, our New Testament passage was the parable of the 10 virgins. And we can get bogged down in looking at the virgins that were ready and the virgins that weren't ready for the arrival of the bridegroom. But I think sometimes we miss the main point was the bridegroom was going to arrive. The bridegroom was coming. And we're promised in the Bible that Jesus is the bridegroom of the church. And one day he will come back. One day he will sweep up all the pain and the suffering of this earth and in our own lives, and will make something brilliant and new out of them. And so this morning, as we look forward, I encourage us to focus our eyes on Jesus and to trust him with everything that's happening in our world, but also in our lives. So we're just gonna have a moment of quiet now. Rebecca's going to play gently in the background for just a minute. I'm gonna spend some time praying for us, and if you find it helpful to engage in this, please do just take some time to be quiet and to be still.